The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, former Attorney General and Minister of Justice Betimold Idrisu defends settlement agreement entered into by the state and CP over payment of judgment debt. More people lord Parliament for passing public health bill. National Identification Authority to conduct mass registration in three regions of the north. Authorities in Cote d'Ivoire destroy hundreds of small arms collected from former militants and civilians, and new massacre in Syrian village by pro-government forces, says the summary with Akosi Ayamoa.
Former Attorney General and Minister of Justice Betimold Idrisu says her decision to agree with the settlement arrangement started with construction pioneers by the previous government was the right thing to do. She said the decision saved the nation the agony of having to pay more interest. Mrs. Maud Idrisu was speaking before the Public Accounts Committee to explain circumstances leading to payment of 94 million euros in judgment debt to CP. More people have hailed the passage of the public health bill, which brings together legislation on tobacco control, vaccination, quarantine and clinical trials, among others. A former Director General of Ghana Health Service, Professor Jimambedu Akosa, and the Executive Director of Vision for Alternative Development, Issa Ali, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said the law is in the best interest of the public. The head of public affairs of the National Identification Authority, NIA, Bertha Jeble, has announced that mass registration of Ghanaians in the three regions of the north will soon begin. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Ms. Jeble said at least 5 million Ghana cedis will be needed for the smooth takeoff of the exercise. Authorities in Cote d'Ivoire have begun destruction of hundreds of small arms collected from former rebels and civilians since the end of the post-election violence that claimed some 3,000 lives. And reports say more than 200 people have been killed in the Syrian village of Tremse in Hama province. According to opposition activists, residents claim the village was attacked with helicopter gunships and tanks. If it is confirmed, the Tremse attack would be one of the bloodiest single events in the Syrian conflict.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Former Attorney General and Minister of Justice Betimold Idrisu has defended the settlement agreement entered into by the state and construction pioneer CP, which resulted in the payment of 94 million euros to CP as judgment debt. Mrs. Mold Idrisu says when she assumed office, she was greeted with a multitude of court cases against the state, with the one involving the CP being pointed out by the Solicitor General as needing urgent attention. She made this known when she took a turn at the Public Accounts Committee hearing yesterday. She noted that since the previous government had started the process, she endorsed the pre-existing recommendations for payment after consultations. Here's a report by Augustus Akwin.
Mrs. Maud Idrisu's appearance before the Public Accounts Committee was a much anticipated one, flanked by her legal team, including former Chief of Staff and Alhaji Hudu Yaya. Mrs. Idrisu could not continue her submissions without drawing the attention of the committee to the oath she has sworn whilst in office.
I want to request your indulgence, Honorable Chair, save the caveat which I am now going to express. As a former cabinet minister and indeed an Article 88 holder, a former Attorney General, I am now being required to disclose what I receive as privileged legal advice, matters and information that occurred to me when I was in office under an oath of secrecy. It is my belief that I am still bound by that oath.
According to her, her predecessor Joe Gatti had recommended that the state was liable and so a payment of 14 million euros had to be made as a sign of the commitment of the state to the settlement agreement. She said the situation was such that CP had in June 2008 put up the Ghana Cocoa Marketing Company's assets in London in the course of executing a partial judgment the UK Commercial Court had given the company against the state. She noted that after the payment of the 14 million euros, CP re-entered negotiations on whether she sought permission from the cabinet to enter into settlement with CP, Mrs. Mojigrisu said her letter sought approval to commence negotiations and it was duly acknowledged.
I am not a paying officer. I give advice to the Minister of Finance, to the government, represented by the appropriate government minister to pay. This advice was given, and as you can see, the Ministry of Finance was at all material times fully represented in this negotiation. Honourable Chair, I'm quite clear in my mind that no, I did not put it into writing to the Chief of Staff or to His Excellency the President that this was the amount and therefore I needed the executive approval.
Why?
Because in fact, it is even unconstitutional.
No, I can say
that it is within my constitutional remit as a Section 88 office holder to conduct all civil cases on behalf of the country.
She noted that on all occasions, negotiations took place with the state fully represented. The former AG maintained that her actions were necessary since time was of essence when it came to judgment debts, adding that the interest accrued on the CP debts amounted to 2/3 of the principal amount. She noted that the country's image was almost in disrepute due to the continuous dragging of the country to the court in foreign countries by CP. The head of her legal team, Nana Atudazi, described the encounter as a fruitful one.
Regarding the opportunity has been wonderful. The lady, Mrs. Betty Mojigrisu, has given out of herself everything, and I think she was wonderful. Her delivery was great. She poured just the fact. And I think that Ghana is a winner in terms of the public education. I think that the core matters were put out by her, and you can see yourself that the committee itself appears, you know, reasonably comfortable with her because of the explanations she's given. The committee itself said, well, we like the evidence has thrown light on some of the prior evidence given by others.
Mrs. Mojigrisu received tremendous support from NDC faithful who thronged Parliament House. She later addressed the media at a news conference where she touched on some submissions she had made at the Public Accounts Committee.
Augustus Akwe's report. Meanwhile, Mrs. Mojigrisu says she's not happy with comments she said were made by some members of the Public Accounts Committee, PAC. According to her, these comments have insinuated criminal conduct on her part, which led the public to attack her personality. Mrs. Mojigrisu poured her out when she finally appeared before the PAC 5 months after her first appearance.
The procedures adopted by this committee have given rise to statements, comments, evidence which have criminal insinuation, criminal implications at my person for the past 5 months. Article 19 of the Constitution gives every citizen of Ghana the opportunity to a fair hearing. My rights in this regard have been violated and trampled on by this Honorable Committee. Honorable Chair, I put it to you that you have sat by and indeed at times participated and allowed my rights to be trampled upon in this manner. I will name Honorable Esiama as having said, and I watched live on our great TV station, BTV, him saying that, I think it was to the Attorney General, that he would agree with him, Honorable Esiama, that this is Betty Mojigrisu conspired with CP to fraudulently collect, to fraudulently, what was the exact word? To fraudulently collect, I will say, so that and defraud the good people of Ghana by the waiver of taxes contained in the settlement agreement. Honorable Chairman, I, that will be due to, urge this.
former Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Mrs. Betty Mould Idrisu. While some members of the committee made efforts to convince the chairman, Albert Kandapa, to apologize to her on the committee's behalf, Mr. Dapa insisted it behoves the former Attorney General to clear the air on any erroneous impression formed about her.
You cannot help but ask the same questions. Yours is to give us information to disprove any wrong notion that we have. So I cannot even assure you that you're not going to ask the same questions.
Honorable Chair,
I'm going to try to get from you assurances that the settlement agreement, yes, is good and there is nothing. Right. While you are away, madam, you couldn't have said, don't ever say anything about Mrs. Betty Mould Idrisu until she's here. So obviously, a whole lot of things have been said. I can also refer you to instances where officials have said, you need to clear with madam. You know, so I don't really find anything improper with the comments that you talked about. I believe you have this beautiful opportunity to assure the committee that the agreement was an excellent one in the best interest of the country, and the tax waiver was justified. So those comments, I'm afraid, yes, I think it is
unfair. He had the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Albert Kandapa. A public interest lawyer, Abraham Amaliba, has accused the Public Accounts Committee of bias. He said the PAC is being used as a platform to attack individuals who appear before it vis-a-vis the type of questions being asked. Mr. Amaliba spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
The Public Accounts Committee is a committee of parliament, and parliament's role is to scrutinize the executive, the decision of the executive, and the, as it were, actions of the executive. So on that score, I think that the Public Accounts Committee has the right to ask questions and scrutinize any decision taken by the executive. So it is within their right to do so.
Yeah, but in the discharge of this duty, would you say PAC has been too attacking at times on individuals who appear before them?
I am afraid to indicate that I do not see the Public Accounts Committee's work as being fair in terms of the witnesses who appear before them. Sometimes you look at the questions that come from members of the committee and you have the impression that they have already made up their mind, as if to say that this person has already been found guilty. And so this is the time for us to scrutinize and, as it were, nail him. The Public Accounts Committee, for me, is like a fact-finding committee. And so the discussions there should be dispassionate. It shouldn't be laced with any political consideration. But what we see, the line of questioning and the kind of submissions made by members of the committee leaves much to be desired. And that is the reason why when witnesses appear before them, in the case of Betty Mould Idrisu, she took exception to some of the comments made by her, members of the committee about her.
And you agree with her?
I totally agree with her because she made some specific allegations.
A public interest lawyer, Abraham Amaliba, talking to Ibrahim Kwating. For his part, a media lawyer, Osei Kuju, does not seem enthused with calls for a presidential commission of inquiry into the judgment death saga. He said the PAC hearing, which is a bipartisan approach, is adequate to deal with the situation.
The politics is so much ingrained in us, that the struggle to capture political power and to administer the country is so much ingrained in the politicians, to the extent that occasionally they tend to forget about the fact that it is institutions that they are running, but it is not personal issues that they are discussing. But with time, I mean, when these kind of the trust that I'm talking about begins to enter into our politics, then we shall see, they will begin to see themselves as working in the national interest more than working in their narrow political partisan interest. Because if you talk about a presidential committee, then you are talking about a situation where it's more or less the executive, which is made up of a particular political party, going to deal with the problem. But with this PAC, which is made up of both sides, if both sides are able to come together and then work together as a team, that one will more or less help come out with the solution than to get a presidential commission to deal with this matter. Because as the problem can be, it is the institutions we have put there to solve our problems. But it is not the human beings we have put there to solve our problem.
A media lawyer, Osei Kojo, still on the PAC, the MP for Ntunampunia, Isaac Isiama, has defended the work of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, saying the committee is mandated, among other things, to protect the public purse. Speaking to Radio Ghana in reaction to concerns raised by a section of the public that the PAC is being used to witch hunt some politicians, Mr. Isiama said the committee, in most instances, is guided by the national interest.
Our job as Parliament is that the moment a report comes from the Auditor General to Parliament, it will be referred to the Public Accounts Committee and we deal with it appropriately. So if the executive also take a decision to go into an inquiry, whatever it is, that is a decision best left to the executive. We wouldn't want to go there. But the key point is that is why we have separation of powers. This is an action by the executive. So the mode of everybody to examine that action obviously it will be Parliament, but for the executive to also go and set up another committee to go and investigate itself, well, nobody will blame them or nobody will fault them, because after all, the president has a constitutional right to do so. But I believe that Public Accounts Committee must be supported to do its work well for Ghana. All these problems we are faced with, the challenges we are faced with now, emanated from the executive. If there had been proper due diligence, I don't think we would have gotten to this stage.
Would you say that some of your submissions are tainted with political color, as others would argue? That is not my opinion anyway.
Well, I'm trying so hard to ensure that we consider Mother Ghana first. That's all that we've been doing. That it's about protecting the national purse, making sure that there's value for money. Ghanaians will all benefit from the taxes that we are paying. So we've done our best to ensure that at least we remain united and focused as a committee. That one, I can show we are doing that. Sometimes there may be some disagreements. I mean, that is normal, and I don't think that can take away the duty of our corporation, the duty of our common fund. I don't think that has taken away at all. We are still focused, and that we believe that we must work for Mother Ghana, and that is all that we are doing.
The MP for Ntunampunia, Isaac Isiama, talking to Ibrahim Kwati on Behind the News. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Former Attorney General and Minister of Justice Bertimold Idrisu defends settlement agreement entered into by the state and CP over payment of judgment debt. More people lord Parliament for passing public health bill. National Identification Authority to conduct mass registration in three regions of the north. Authorities in Cote d'Ivoire destroy hundreds of small arms collected from former militants and civilians. A new massacre in Syrian village by pro-government forces.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
More people have hailed the passage of the public health bill, which brings together legislation on tobacco control, vaccination and clinical trials, among other things. The bill was passed by Parliament this week and is awaiting presidential assent. When operationalized, it will effectively put an end to smoking in public places and ban advertising of tobacco and its products. The Executive Director of Vision for Alternative Development, Issa Ali, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said the legislation mandates the Ministry of Health and the Food and Drugs Board to educate the public on the effects of tobacco use and enforce the law. He spoke to Sally Bosman.
Actually, our desire would be to at least get a comprehensive legislation, but I think what we have now, we can work with it.
And what role will the Food and Drugs Authority play?
The Food and Drugs Authority is going to be the agency responsible for regulating tobacco control. And presently, they've been regulating tobacco control in Ghana in collaboration with other agencies. And we are aware the Ghana Health Service is also working, implementing some aspects of tobacco control, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Ghana Education Service, and other media and NGOs.
What do you suggest should be done to those who flout the bill when finally passed into law?
Actually, the bill that we have now has several provisions, which make to at least there are provides for offenses and other fines. If you look at the bill, the most important aspect now will have to do with public education, for us to educate the public to know the contents of the bill, for them to know what we need to do and what we don't have to do, because some of the issues are very good and are going to help the people to actually improve their lifestyle. Let's say, for instance, I mean, the bill prohibits smoking in public places. It bans tobacco advertising, promotion, and sponsorship. It also urged the Food and Drug Board to print text and pictorial health warnings on tobacco packs. And interestingly, for our future generations, the bill is going to ban the sale, buying, lighting, and exposure of tobacco to minors. And presently, as we see, we know that there are people who abuse the youth, who send the minors to go and buy cigarettes and even light. And this act now, you can to sell cigarettes or tobacco products to a child.
Executive Director of Vision for Alternative Development, Issa Ali. A former Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Ajimambidu Akosa, has also lauded Parliament for passing the Public Health Bill. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Professor Akosa suggested banning the sale of cigarette sticks in the country. This is because, unlike the pack, the sticks do not have the inscription, "Smoking can be harmful to your health," which serves as a warning to consumers.
I got a call from a friend of mine who said, "You must be a very happy man." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Parliament has just passed the public health bill." And I said, "Hallelujah."
Do you agree with a section of the public that the passage of this bill is long overdue? Public?
Well, absolutely. This is 8 years overdue. In 2004, we presented to cabinet 40 copies of a draft bill that a task that immediately we came from the World Health Organization meeting that had passed the framework convention on tobacco control. We established a task force, immediately went into domesticating that law and presented a draft bill in 2004. They lost the first set. We organized the second set. They lost it again. We organized the third set. And if 2012, we now have a bill passed through Parliament, then of course it is 8 years.
Prof, but sections of the bill just issue health warnings on cigarettes, sale of tobacco, its packaging, labeling, and advertising. Do you think they could have done more on this?
Of course they could have done more. I haven't seen the final bit, but we were asking for large pictorial diagrams on the packet. I don't know whether we got that. I particularly was advocating for the non-sale of tobacco sticks. Because you see, if you go and buy a stick, you don't see the health warning, you don't see the pictorial warnings, if there are any, and you just buy a stick. And that is what most Ghanaians do. The poor people of Ghana cannot buy a packet.
Former Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Ajimambidu Akosa. The National Identification Authority, NIA, is expected to conduct mass registration of Ghanaians in the three regions of the north. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the head of public affairs of the authority, Beth Ajable, said at least 5 million Ghana cedis will be needed for the smooth takeoff of the exercise. She spoke to Sally Bosman.
All we want to do is to assure people living in this community, especially in the northern, upper east, upper west, that we are prepared to the mass registration exercise over there. We are doing all the planning that needs to be done.
How prepared are you for the exercise?
Well, let's say that we have the personnel, they're trained, they've acquired the experience already. We have the equipment which is waiting in Dongahafo. All we have to do is move them to the northern region where we will begin first, and then we start the registration. All we have to do is train personnel at the grassroots or in the various communities who will fill the form. But those who take the biometric data and then input the information into the computer are already trained persons. They are available. So those resources are already available.
The head of public affairs of the National Identification Authority, Beth Ajable, talking to Sally Bosman. The Greater Accra Regional Director of the National Service Scheme, Ebenezer Ejio, is advocating strong adherence to policies against hunger and poverty. He was of the view that a united approach is the surest way to fight the two devils. Mr. Ejio made the remark when the Greater Accra National Service Secretariat presented 90 bags of maize and beans worth 6,000 Ghana cedis to three needy institutions in Accra. Here is a report by Linda Aiti.
The Castle Road Special School at the Accra Psychiatric Hospital, the Jolly Special School, and the Osu Children's Home were beneficiaries of the food items. The grains, according to the project director of the scheme, George Gado, is part or harvest from the scheme's farmlands. The headmaster of the Castle Road Special School, Isaac Gadoto, on behalf of the school, said since its establishment in 1996, the school cannot boast of adequate classroom blocks to enhance effective studies. Mr. Gadotto called on individuals and organizations to come to their aid, since the pupils are severe, profound people who cannot do anything on their own. That was Linda Aite's report. The Catholic Social Advance Institute will from next September this year introduce new courses to give room for the admission of more students. These are Advanced Catering and Fashion, Home Economics, Diploma in Business and the Ghanaian Language as an elective subject. The principal of the institute, Anbua Chiansa, announced that the institute will also run short courses in fashion and catering. Madame Bua Chiansa was speaking at the third graduation of the institute. Mauku Fiahe Ajima has the rest of the story.
The Catholic Social Advance Institute is a private institute which was founded in 1964 by Dr. Helga Kleinkowski, a German social worker. It was then a vocational institute with dressmaking as the only course offered. In 1965, a commercial department was added. A catering department was later established in 2000 to train students who may prefer catering to fashion. Currently, the institute offers courses in general arts, business, secretaryship and vocational skills. The principal of the institute, Anbuache Ansa, said the institute is empowering the youth with employable skills in accordance with the theme for their graduation this year. If the students complete and go out to look for jobs only to be told that they do not meet the requirements, Madam Ansa said this is because they are not taught courses that will make them employable. She said the school is faced with challenges which need to be addressed immediately.
Our main source of income is the current low population, therefore, has had an adverse effect on our plan. We have a big room, which is what a kid can accommodate about 50 computers. Due to our constraints, we could buy only 5 more computers this year to replace the old one. We need more computers. Since our regular students in the senior high school and the vocational department are being equipped with basic skills in ICT.
The president of the Institute of Chartered Accountants and guest speaker for the occasion, Angela Piesa, cautioned the youth to make good career decisions so they can be efficient wherever they find themselves. She asked the graduates to be submissive and work hard so they can achieve their goals. 133 students graduated.
You heard this report by Mauku Fiahe Ajumai. On the international front, authorities in Cote d'Ivoire are destroying hundreds of more arms collected since the end of the post-election violence that claimed some 3,000 lives. Reports say the destruction of about 600 weapons started yesterday. So far, about 2,000 weapons have been collected from former militants and civilians since October last year.
Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
UN and government helicopter guns have opened fire on suspected rebel positions in eastern DR Congo. The attack against the M23 rebels took place north of the town of Goma, close to the border with Rwanda. Last week, the rebels overran an U.S. base on the Ugandan border, killing one peacekeeper and forcing an evacuation. The Tutsi-led rebels took up arms in April as part of a mutiny led by Bosco Ntaganda began taking positions north of Goma about a week ago. Meanwhile, defense ministers from 11 African countries, including Rwanda and DR Congo, have called for the establishment of an international force to eliminate armed groups in the volatile eastern Congo, where the M23 militia is staging a rebellion. The ministers have pledged to work with the AU and UN for the establishment of a neutral international force to eradicate the militia groups and also patrol and secure the border zones. And at least 200 people are reported to have been killed in the Syrian village of Trense in Hama province. Opposition activists quoted residents as saying the village was attacked with helicopter gunships and tanks. Pro-government Shabiha militant later went in on foot and carried out execution-style killings. State media said terrorist groups had carried out a massacre to raise tensions ahead of a UN Security Council meeting on the Syria Observer mission. To end the news, the main points again.
Former Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Mrs. Betty Mould Idrisu, says her decision to agree with the settlement arrangement started with construction pioneers by the previous government was the right thing to do. Mrs. Idrisu was speaking before the Public Accounts Committee to explain circumstances leading to payment of 94 million euros in judgment debt to CP. More people have hailed the passage of the Public Health Bill, which brings together legislation on tobacco control, vaccination and clinical trials, among other things. The head of public affairs of the National Identification Authority, Bertha Jadle, has announced that mass registration of Ghanaians in the three regions of the north will soon begin. And authorities in Cote d'Ivoire have begun destruction of hundreds of small arms collected from former rebels and civilians since the end of the post-election violence that claimed some 3,000 lives. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.